guys. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Service Without Excuses podcast, episode number 7 of season number 1. We talk to real-world service business professionals about what they're doing every day to make the difference not only in their customers' and clients' lives, but also with their staff. Every week, we interview those that make critical differences, the challenges, the strategy, and the triumphs. Our mission is to make these beliefs that are holding you back in your business non-existent. Our purpose is to exchange strategic ideas to help each other grow. Our values reflect honesty, integrity, discipline, structure, equaling results. Our short-term goal is to destroy the limiting beliefs that are preventing true success. Our long-term goal is to grow and build an actual business, not a ticking time bomb. And the final result is to make you enjoy what you do every day. Welcome to the Service Without Excuses podcast. Hey guys, welcome to episode number 7 of season number 1. And we have our first official guest, and this is going to be pretty awesome. This is an old friend of mine. We've known each other for a very, very long time. Both are musicians, but doing it longer than either one of us care to probably admit. But Rob has a true skill set aside from the music business, and that is understanding SEO better than just about anybody. I'm aware of, and I've known him, and I trust him, and he is the one that, of course, built my website and is helping me behind the scenes make this thing happen. So, Rob, welcome.
How you doing? Good to be here, man.
Awesome, man. Awesome. How's the weather in Pennsylvania?
It's currently snowing.
The only difference between... Yeah, we get a little bit of rain going on down here right now. Like, it started to rain when I got back in, but it was a little nicer, but I can imagine.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I can deal with rain, but snow and ice is kind of...
Yeah. I don't miss it, man. I don't miss it for one second. So Rob is a specialist with SEO. He is located in Pennsylvania, a town called, I believe, Berwick is where you're at. And it's...
I'm in Berwick.
Yeah, central Pennsylvania area, and beautiful area. And it's a lot different than New York, that's for sure, and definitely a lot different than New Jersey, a lot less busy. But one of the advantages that Rob does, and the reason I wanted to have him here on this podcast, is obviously we talk to service-based businesses, your HVAC, your plumbing, heating contractors, carpet cleaners, you know, people that are in the field that are too busy doing the job. Even though they're in the process, they should be in the process of building their business. They're in the field. They think like I do. They think like other people do with it, which is, I got to be there in the grind making it happen. But what we don't look at, we really kind of turn a blind eye to, technically, is what makes the business tick. How does that phone ring? And sure, if you've been in business for 30 years, you've got a certain amount of customers and clients that are all built up. But if you don't have that luxury, you don't have that time, and even today that's becoming more and more irrelevant than the past, and I'm sure Rob will get into the reasons for that. But if you have a new business you're starting right now, a business under 5 years old, I'm one of them, this particular business, you know that you have to have every competitive edge that you possibly can in order to scale your business, grow your business, and not be a victim of your business. What Rob's going to talk about today is the need for SEO in your business and SEO on your websites, and some of the differences and misconceptions that are out there about what SEO is and what SEO is not, what social media is, what social media is not. So I'm going to leave this up to Rob. I just kind of talked to him right before we got on this recording and went over, you know, what we do. And that's, again, that's what he does. And I want to know, what are the advantages? What are the real benefits, the tangible benefits to a service-based business planning their marketing? And again, what things are not. So, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, basically, like, no matter what business you're in, it's not marketing. Is that like putting a wire on a telephone pole and hope people see it? You know, you got to definitely go out there. You got to find out who your potential customers are. And some businesses, it's easier, you know, if you sell a certain product, you know who would probably use that end product. When you're a service provider of some sort, whether you're a plumber or a lawyer, anybody possibly could need those. So, I mean, SEO becomes extremely important because they say somewhere around 80 to 90% of people in business can be supposed to do business with that person. So if you don't have an online presence, that kind of screams, hear about a business that doesn't have a website, I just immediately, my mind goes, oh, they must really be a small business. They must not really be doing much, and they're probably happy just being a small business. And unless you've been around for 40 years and word of mouth has finally caught up, you're making a living. Anybody that started a business in the last 5 years on a website is probably putting themselves in a serious competitive disadvantage. And so it's basically a website and SEO. It's a kind of like all of the above. So with SEO, is if you're looking at 80% of people are Googling, if they're looking for a plumber or for a lawyer, they're going to Google. And if you can find yourself in what they call that map map, the 3D right at the top, normally you have the ad, which I think about 80, 90% of us know that an ad just means they spent money to be there and no one really clicked on those ads. Right below that is what the map package. So you could be seven, now they only list three. You want to be there. That's probably the most important place to be. There used to be a joke, where do you go if you don't want to be found? Page two of Google. but that's kind of the thing. Is I think a lot of people, regarding me, you were talking earlier, and I did too in the beginning when I started my business. You know, you're starting a new business. You don't have 100 grand in the bank, and you suffer from this thing that I call scarcity mindset. You want to do everything on your own, even if you're terrible at it. You don't want to pay anybody even like $10 to do something simple. Every dollar counts. And you're afraid to spend money on anything. Which with social media, the beautiful thing about social media is it is free. You can actually start there. But if you don't at least look at SEO and putting some money into it, you're basically at a disadvantage. I remember I was just a one-man operation, and I never asked for help. I was a control freak. I didn't spend money anywhere. If somebody needed a graphic for a website, even though I wasn't that good at graphics, I would try to dump something up on my computer and spend hours trying to get somebody to like one of my graphics, logos, and then pay for it. And then I finally ran into somebody who had the Washington, D.C., somebody, an older guy that had been doing SEO for years, and started asking me questions. And I think you could tell by my answers that it really, you just kind of looked at me like, what are you doing? Like, that's one thing. How are you even doing SEO if all you're charging is $200-$300 a month for SEO? Like, what can you possibly do for a client for $200-$300 a month? I was like, well, that's all what people are willing to spend in my area. And he said, that's not true. You got to up your game. There are people out there that are serious about their company, and they need SEO to survive. And he's like, wouldn't you rather have 10 clients that pay you $1,000 a month than try to have 25 clients at $200-$300 a month? And you wouldn't be able to even keep up. Like, you're basically almost inhibiting your ability to even do your job.
Right.
And he told me, like, you're suffering from scarcity mindset. And then I kind of woke up and I was like, man, he's absolutely right. So I basically figured out one night, I sat down, what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And I doubled down on what I was good at, and everything else I found other people would do, even if I had to pay them. And every year for the following 3 years, my business doubled every year. And I wish I would have met that guy earlier, kind of like my sentence. But it, and Rob, you've done the same thing. And once you realize, I used to also, I'd be online looking at my competitors all the time. I don't even know who they are anymore. I don't pay attention to them. Somebody ask me right now, like, hey, who's your biggest competitor? I have no idea. Me?
Yeah.
That's my biggest competitor. You know what I mean?
Right. So, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I had a mentor years ago say, you want to be aware of your competitors, just that they're there. You want to be aware of what, but do they really make your decisions? Do they really pay things for you? Do they really, have your back? They don't. I mean, they're not going to be lined up outside. Oh, God, Rob went out of business. You know, let's all chip in together and keep his doors open. They're jumping up and down when a competitor goes out. So, yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you explaining that. To me, it's inconceivable not to have a website, not to have, you know, your presence out there today, because everything is done online. I mean, sure, you could do some offline stuff today, but I've tested them. I've tested good direct response marketing, and it's got its own, you know, merit, but you look at the investment versus the cost. To me, I've advertised on Facebook, I've advertised on Google, and people say, wow, Facebook is so cheap. They don't know what it is. It's not really cheap from my experience. Maybe for other people it is. It's good based on the cost of the investment you have. So if you're expecting to get $500 jobs all day long from Facebook, you're going to have to spend some money. You can't spend $50 one time and say, okay, this is it. This is what it does. You can test something on that from my experience, but I can't see you actually doing something. And going back to what you said before about, you know, having the better quality of a client, having a real client versus a customer, I guess is what it comes down to. Somebody's, you know, giving you a couple $100 a month, they're really a transactional customer. They're here today and gone tomorrow. Where a client, somebody that believes in you, believes you're going to make the difference for them in their business, and they're going to help them grow. So one of the misconceptions that I had for the longest time is, and I thought it was all encompassing and something I wanted to cover, was the difference between SEO and social media. And most people, me included for the longest time, felt they were all one thing, that SEO was social media. And after even just a discussion with you, you gave me all the breakdowns of the differences between the two and the differences between the clients. Like some clients hire you for SEO, which is your main part of your business, which you like to do. But other people have hired you, bigger companies, to do more social media content. You know, on a bigger scale, obviously. But can you explain the difference to our listeners of what one is versus the other?
Yeah, I mean, basically what social media is that I guess the easiest way to like kind of set it up, so I guess in layman's terms, is that, you know, you have a social network like Facebook and LinkedIn, and those are places where people hang out. Like, there's 2 million or 2 billion people on Facebook.
Wow.
So like, basically, it's a crazy amount. Actually, Facebook has more people than every other social media combined.
Oh, Jesus.
There are some people gaining, but I mean, there's still millions of people on Pinterest, and you know, some people don't even know Pinterest is still even a thing.
Right.
I don't do much with it. But basically, what a social media is, a place where what I consider like where people go to hang out. They're not there to look for business. They're not there to do anything, but basically see what kind of like what their friends are up to, or if they're in business. Like, I look at LinkedIn kind of as social media. It's like, if you're in business and you want to be in a group of people where they're like-minded, I almost look at like social media to me is if you go to a party, a business party, they have a whole bunch of business people, and you go to this party, and you could either be the guy that's leaning against the wall watching everybody hold conversations, or you could be the guy that goes to that dinner party and networks. That's kind of like Facebook is like a dinner party. You go in, and you find people that are like-minded, like people that you – and Facebook's marketing is just so crazy. You can literally narrow it down to the point where you want to – people who, like football and go to church and all the stuff. Like, even wow. There's so many different ways that you can knock it down. You can do it by age group, by so that, you know, it's just so many things that you could do with Facebook marketing. And you're right, it looks really cheap, but if you don't know what you're doing, it can be very expensive and you can lose a lot of money. I run into the same questions all the time when I talk to clients. They're like, well, I tried Facebook before and it didn't work. I was like, but I'm sure that it didn't work because Facebook doesn't work, or it didn't work because you didn't find out who your end user is and you didn't have a compelling story that made them, you know, want to do business with you. Like, people don't buy from you by what you do. They buy why you do it. So basically, like, does Apple really make the best products? Some would argue not anymore. But they have a cult following. So basically the idea is that social media is those kind of places, almost like dinner places. But what you want, that's how I always say it. People, it's like, just think, you go into a dinner party. You can either not get involved and just watch other people are doing, or you can jump in conversations. Was it Gary Vaynerchuk that said, you know, he basically started his wine business by going on Twitter and watching what other people were saying about wine. And if somebody would say, you know, I'm having this tonight, you know, what wine I should use, and he would jump in the conversation and say, have you ever tried, you know, this brand of wine? And then he would leave. Never was salesy about it. He would just go in and add value to conversation, to the point where he became known as the wine guy.
Yeah,
he turned a $3 million business into, what was it? Kind of crazy.
$70 million. Yeah, that was the cornerstone of his jab, right hook, was what you just described right there. He goes, the jabs will win in the end. The boxers are the same way. The jabs are the things that win a fight. Unless you're going to knock the guy out, you know, the jab is going to win the fight, because that's the technical aspect of the fight. So it makes sense.
Yeah. And then and basically with SEO is, it's like, even like, you're either going to be with people or hanging out at the dinner party, or like when it comes time to somebody doing almost like, I won't say a background check, but if somebody hears about, or somebody's looking for a plumber, Google kind of treats everybody like a pizza company. So like, if you order a pizza, thing that Google's going to look for in the search results is, who actually has the most, like, could be reviews, online content. They have all these analytics on what pizza place is the best pizza place around. But then they also take into account where you are. So if there's a pizza place a block from my house, and there's two other ones that are 4 miles away on the other side of town, they're going to include the one that's a block from my house in that map pack, just because they're close. Unless they have like one-star reviews in Google, like, I don't, you know, their analytics might go like, hey, block away, but they don't. No one really likes the pizza.
Right, right.
So we're just going to show the ones on the other side of town. But it's basically almost like the Yellow Pages anymore. Like, and if you're not, if you're not there, like if you're not even anywhere to be found on Google, then all you have is word of mouth. Because, like, unless you run an ad on Facebook or start spending a ton of money, once you're number one on Google, of course you got to keep up with it. You got to have good content, but it's all about, you know, the one thing is, you have to give value. The minute you do anything that's considered shady, the minute you do anything that somebody might look at as like, change their perception on you, then probably no SEO in the world is going to save you from a bad reputation. But you need to be on these search engines, and Google's the biggest one. I mean, most people don't even call it search engine anymore. Like, people are like, how do you rank on Google? It's not like, what's your search engine optimization? Where do you rank on search engines? Where do you rank on Google? You know what I mean? Like, people might bring Bing up like one out of every 150 conversations. So if you're not there, it's literally like if everybody was found. You open up the Yellow Pages, and everybody's under the Yellow Pages of plumbing, and they're plumbing. And you're not there. One thing I know for sure is you're not going to get a call that day. There might be 10 other ones that are listed, and it's a crapshoot to see who's going to get called. But if you're not there, you're definitely not getting called. Oh, they don't know about you. So a search engine is like, if you're in the top three, it's almost like an authority thing. Like, okay, this guy's number one on Google. You can't buy your way to being number one on Google.
Yeah,
I mean, you can if you hire the right SEO guy, knows what to do, and you have a lot of money. Yeah, but I've outranked some huge companies that had 20, 30 employees, just like the biggest law firm in town, and a one-man operation just out of, you know, law school called me, and within 6 months, they're outranking a big lawyer. because that big lawyer is, maybe it's because he like doesn't advertise. Maybe he doesn't care about social media. Maybe he doesn't care about SEO because he has such big major clients that he doesn't need anymore. So why put any money into it?
Right.
Whereas, and if you're hungry and provide value, and like I said, if you get the right SEO guy knows what they're doing, and you rank number one, you're probably going to at least 60% of the calls usually go to that number one spot. So, so I guess maybe I'm biased being an SEO guy, but like to not want to do that for your business, it actually kind of boggles my mind. Like when I hear somebody say, well, SEO doesn't really matter, I think to myself, wow. I mean, I don't even know really what this, I've never been able to come up with a comeback for that, because all I know is, I'll give it 5 years and look to see if you're still business. Odds are you won't be, but I don't say that, of course. But, you know, it's like it doesn't really register in my mind that you can't have a successful business without an online presence.
Absolutely
and
not.
People say, well, I just talked to a customer who has a restaurant, and he pays $500 a month for a billboard at each end of town. So he's coming to town, he's got a billboard at each end. He's like, and then he complains about, well, I don't know how much business I get off that. I was like, well, when people call your restaurant, do you ask them how they heard about you? No, well, then you should try it. So the come up on that way, you can gauge your own. I could say, hey, I could see the Google results. 300 people called your business last month. But if he didn't ask where they came from, he's not going to believe that I told him that he got 300 calls.
Right.
Even though, Google can show 300 people actually clicked on his phone number which, like I said, the Google business page is free, but that's literally the most important thing any business can do.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We get back to the whole website thing. When people call me and say they don't have a website, been in business for 2-3 years, that boggles my mind. Like, and you're still in business. That's crazy. You must have a great product and word of mouth, because that's kind of something that kind of boggles my mind. You're still around after 3 or 4 years without a website, no marketing, no online budgets, and your business is around, what's the 80% of all businesses fail?
Oh, yeah. And for a specific reason, I'm thinking of something as you're talking to start. I remember going to a trade show in Nashville probably maybe 7-8 years ago, maybe probably a little bit more than that now. And they're doing all these little exhibitions, and they got a guy up there that I think is an absolute genius at marketing and small business marketing at the time. I don't think SEO wasn't even it's been probably 10 years when it really comes down to it. So there's two different things going on, two different workshops. Actually, three. One is like somebody learning the technical aspects of how to clean upholstery by the best instructor probably in the world at upholstery cleaning, Jim Pemberton. He's going to be a guest coming up here shortly. On the other end is a guy named Bill Yaden, also an upcoming guest, that is a marketing master, has seen it, researched it, been at it for a long time, embraces change, embraces things that are different. The next workshop is a bunch of guys tearing a truck mount apart. Now, that's cool, and I got a little bit of a gearhead, mentality too as well. I kind of want to know what that is. But I said to the host, I'm sitting next to him, he goes, isn't this pretty cool? I was like, you know what gets me? I says, I can't believe that 80% of the people are watching them take this truck apart, yet 5 people are not understanding how you're going to pay for that truck. One is going to produce revenue for the other. If you're not doing that, then, how are you going to pay for that? How are you going to grow that? It's almost like just throwing, money at the phone books. Back in the phone book, the salesperson, the yellow pages salesperson would say, hey, you got to invest X amount of dollars a month or nobody's going to know who you are. But you couldn't track a damn thing. Today, with technology, the way things have changed, and based on what you're saying, you can track every dollar. You can figure out how many hits somebody's getting, how many clicks they're getting, how much traffic is going back and forth. So it seems like the playing field has leveled tremendously now compared to the past. Also, I talk about social credibility. You talked before about reputation and things like that, and I always talk about something called social credibility, and it's a one-shot deal, but if I go and I pop up a Facebook Live event in this Service Without Excuses Mastermind group, I will immediately get, and I'm not saying it, I'll get 100 people on that group just about any given time. And it's all built on the fact that if I'm actually going to put something on there, all of a sudden people come and flock. If I actually advertised I was going to do it, forget about it. I can get a few hundred people here in the group at one time. It's all based on credibility. They think whatever I might have to say about a particular subject at a time, it has its own social credibility. They believe that whatever is going to come out of my mouth or my guest mouths is going to be so important that they should stop whatever they're pretty much doing and go to the Facebook Live event and see what it is, because that's the reputation that's been built. And it seems like if a business, a small business, a service-based business, is trying to grow their business, how are people going to find out about their reputation, their social credibility, what they have and what they've built up without having that online presence? I know that pretty much daily, people will say, hey, your reviews are great. Well, that's that credibility factor. They're taking somebody's information, their aspect of how the job was done that they don't know, that they never will know. Probably not. And they're taking whatever they had to say to heart when they make a decision to call. But if they don't find you because you're not present on the web, on Google, as you say, because it's the same thing with podcasting. iTunes is the big giant in the room, and then there's other, and I happen to like some of the other ones actually a little bit better personally, but it doesn't matter. iTunes is still the biggest place to be in, and Google seems like it's kind of the same thing. If you're not at least ranked on the first page in your local market, because that's what you specialize in and that's what you do for people, if you're not there, I can't see how a business today can even survive without that. At least that's my two cents on it.
I agree. I think it might have been Gary V again, where he was saying something about billboards. People don't look at billboards anymore. Like, they don't even look at the road. They're looking at their phone.
Right.
And in a nutshell, it's basically, if somebody said to me, like, give me, you know, tell me how, like, a mindset to have when thinking about marketing, and I would say, pick up your smartphone and just realize that if you did everything, like, that phone is everything. Like, if social media, where everybody's at, or Googling, no matter what ad I run. I mean, I run ads all the time for my clients on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on what we do, geofencing. I think any type of ad, it literally always comes back 50-50 almost. 50% of people answer the ad on their mobile device, 50% answer their ad.
Wow.
On a desktop. It's like 50-50. In fact, I think I read somewhere, I don't know if it's accurate because I just read it in an article, and there was actually more Christmas products bought from a mobile device than a desktop for the first year ever.
Wow, after. Holy cow.
Yeah, so like the phone, I mean, if you ask me, I mean, I was born and raised in Berwick. I moved away for like 14 years and came back now. But even down where I lived in, where I was for 14 years, I was there for 14 years. If you ask me right now, even if you offered me $100 to tell you where any billboard was and what was on that billboard, I would lose $100. I would never be able to tell you. I mean, I could tell you where I saw billboards, but I remember not one company, not one advertising that was on a billboard. Because you, in today's environment, when you're driving, like, everybody's on their phone. So if you're not even on your phone, you're watching really carefully where you're going, because there's some crazy drivers out there that
right.
are looking on their phone. So you don't have time to look off the road at a billboard anymore. And there's so much traffic. I mean, it's just crazy. But like Gary Vee was like, no one even looks at the road anymore, let alone the billboard.
You know, something not to cut you off, but to go right into the point, you just brought up a billboard to people. Well, wouldn't your name on the front page of Google, your website showing up there, content being distributed, wouldn't that be the same thing as a billboard? Last time I checked, a billboard in a small market like you're in, it's about $800 to $1,000 a month. Here, it's probably $4 to $5. In New York, it's probably $10 plus, $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
So people are buying, still going for these conventional ways, when really they just, you should change one media for another. Adapt the media that's out there today, you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck for $10,000 online than you're ever going to get on a silly billboard today. And again, no disrespect to the billboard industry. It had its time. It had its point of it. But realistically, if your SEO presence out there is the same thing as a billboard, but a billboard people can go to safely, that they're going to look for something, they're going to see it. And the reason I'm going into this is I notice if I search for something on Google, it shows up on my Facebook feed, shows up on my Instagram feed. It immediately shows up that I was looking for. I could be talking into the device. I could be saying it in the room, and magically, what I'm looking at, you know, it comes. We just stayed at a hotel in Atlantic City. I had to do an event down there, and I'm thinking to myself, they know where I stayed. You know, I didn't even post I stayed here, but they know I'm here. So it's a billboard that actually follows you. It's almost like the billboard's got wheels and it comes to you. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's basically what they call geofencing. So for instance, if I'm, you know, Ali, I'm going to geofence one of the other casinos, and the minute you walk into the doors of that other casino, if you have Google on your phone or even if you have, like, other apps, there's, like, a ton of apps. If you use a shopping app, anything that runs in the background of your phone, you can buy advertising, like, geofencing. You get a, you know, you might get something that pops up and said, hey, Bally's is offering a great deal on hotel rooms tonight because they know you're walking in to check into another hotel. I mean, it's all on your phone. They pretty much can do everything. They know where you're at. Even if there is a place even on your phone, you can go in and actually shut off where they know where you've been. I used to be able to go in and literally look at everywhere I was. And you still can on the phone. I mean, they're getting a lot of this privacy stuff that's going on with Facebook. Like, they're starting to limit some of that.
Right.
They still know where you're at, especially as if you, because when you download an app, you don't read the fine print. It says that, you know, this will be basically used. If you're on this app, we will know where you're at while you're on our app.
Kind of
so
scary.
Download the app. Yeah, it is good. But people, I mean, the thing about privacy is really, like, there's only one way to actually really get away from everybody knowing where you are and what you're saying and what you're doing, all that stuff. And that's to get rid of any electronic device and move in the middle of the woods. It's really like, I mean, like, a lot of people have these conspiracy theories. I'm just one of those firm believers that, like, I don't really care much about privacy because there's nothing I can do. I mean, don't do anything illegal.
Right, right.
I mean, but there's, I mean, if you go on Google and search an item and the next 2 or 3 days, you see that item everywhere because
yes,
they knew you searched it. You know what I mean? So that they're like, oh, this guy searched iPod. He's in the, you know, he's in looking for iPod. So then we're just going to keep showing him iPod. And that's all. I still see, like, there's stuff that I Googled a month or two ago and actually purchased a month or two ago for somebody else for Christmas. Nothing I'm interested in. And I'm still seeing them everywhere, like, when I go online. I'm like, there should be a place where I could just, like, really click on it and go, listen, I already bought this. I'm showing you that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wish
right.
there was. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. We could talk for hours on how, like, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that people don't realize that if you're not online, you're really, you know, you're probably reaching 10% of the people you could reach. You know, there are, I actually, the funny thing is, I just had a guy, he's an interior designer in Detroit, and he got my name from somebody who actually used to live in Pennsylvania, helped build their business. They moved to Detroit, started the same business out there, and I was helping them build the business in Detroit, and they're a former client of mine from down here, and this guy is literally $1 million interior designer, but people literally will still call him. His word of mouth is crazy. I mean, he doesn't need anything, and he's going to be fine with that. people kept saying, where can I see some of your work? They would call him, and he kept getting that. And he's like, I mean, and he almost said for the first couple of months, he was like offended because he's such a well-known person in the Detroit area. And his clients, he actually named some clients that I knew or household names. I said, wow, really impressed this guy. So he said he could always use more clients. And the fact that lately in the last year or two, people have been saying, can I see some of your work? And he said, at first I was insulting because I think that everybody should know about him in Detroit because he's been a big interior designer out there. But then he started realizing that, like, well, maybe he does need a website. Maybe he does need an online presence. So he called me and we started, we've been working on a website. And this is a guy that's been in business for 50 years and never had a website. And I was getting it.
Mind blowing. That,
like, yeah. It's funny. But, I mean, SEO is, it's one of those things that a plumber can compete with a major brand. Like, you know, in the carpet cleaning business, like if you have Service Master, you have one of these, like, they do a ton of marketing on their own. You just have to be the local Service Master, carpet installer, or, I mean, carpet cleaner or restoration person. But I could start a carpet restoration business tomorrow or, you know, fire restoration business tomorrow and literally do the right SEO. And I could be number one in 6 to 12 months outranking Service Master.
That's crazy, but there's some real truth to that. That it levels the playing field. One of the podcasts I just did was the franchise. What's the benefit to one or the other? And every time I put a benefit out about why you belong to a national organization, you have the ability to do that. Maybe on a smaller scale, but you have the ability to get that same credibility, that same ability to capture the clients out there. You know, obviously you might not have the war chest, most of us don't, that these bigger companies have, but you have a playing field now to be able to do it. Something that was told to me years ago when I worked for Stanley was one of the regional trainers at the time said somebody was complaining, and he had left the company at that point in time, and they said, you know, I hate it when, you know, I see those stupid Stanley ads on TV that just pisses me off. I can't stand it or whatever. And he goes, listen, every time those ads go out on TV that cost a small fortune, your phones ring too. And it was really profound. And that was just, you know, but it was the commercial on TV. It was the SEO, you know, whatever kind of campaign was put together. But he was profound. He's like, you know, every time we spend all the money, you still benefit.
Well, I mean, there's definitely the thing about, you know, the whole franchise thing is there's definitely positives to it. I mean, it goes either way, but I'm saying it. So here's a for instance. So I had a guy, I don't know if you're familiar with Painting with a Twist is basically a national organization started in Texas. Now they're everywhere.
Right.
There's probably got to be a few of them in the park. And it's basically where you show up, they teach you how to, you know, you literally, like, even if you're not a great painter, the way they do it, like, stroke by stroke, and you, like, when you're done, if you really have painted something that you can actually be proud of, you know? And you can bring wine, they have snacks, like, you can bring stuff, and it's kind of like almost like a party environment.
Yeah.
And, but they, you have to pay a lot to be part of the national organization, but you get a lot.
Yeah.
I had a client come to me and said, like, I don't want to do that. I want to run my own company. I don't want anybody telling me where to put advertising. Because one thing I'm saying with Swiss is I think they required him to spend, I think, $500 a month on advertising. And he couldn't really, you know, like, they don't let you do much. They have a website. Here's your website. You can't really change it. We're going to send you what you're going to do every week, that kind of thing, which is great. It makes it a lot easier, but you have to pay for it. And I had a guy that said, you know, I'm a painter. I don't want to be beholden to any corporation. I want to be able to run these classes the way I want to run them. And, you know, we basically, it took it was less than a year of just writing blog posts, building out a really good website and just posting stuff on his classes. I remember the first couple of classes, like 2 people, 3 people, 6 people. And now he outranks all the national ones, like Dang English Bliss, and there's another one. And his classes are, I mean, if you don't get in weeks in advance, you don't get in. And I just think that I think people kind of, I think they also like that because you have full control over what you do. Nobody knows, you know, you're in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Nobody knows Asbury Park, New Jersey, better than you if you've been there for 10, 15 years. So some guy who was in a national, you know, business at Powers in, you know, out of Amarillo, Texas, they don't know the best way to market to Asbury Park. They know how to market. They know what marketing works for them, and they think it works everywhere. But if you're a local, people want to, first off, I think a lot of, we're in an age now where people do want to do business with local companies.
Right, they do. Absolutely. And,
yeah. So, like, why would you not want to let people know that, you know, you're pretty much a local guy and started your own painting company? They're going to go to you every day of the week once they know about you, and the experience is just as good as painting it. And you do it your own way. If you don't, like, I mean, you know, I have friends that have 9-to-5 jobs that tell me I'm nuts for being self-employed because how do I know if I'm not, every one of my clients is going to fire me next week? What am I going to do? And I'm like, probably the same thing that you would do if your company fired you tomorrow because they have 20,000 other people they can hire. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, one is
get a new client, get a new job.
Yeah. I mean, I knew from a very young age that I would never work there. It wasn't even something that I've never had. I've never worked for anybody. I've had partners. I've gone into company business with partners before, and even that is stressful because not everybody pulls their weight, and you feel like you're the only one. And I just decided, you know, 10 years ago when I started doing this, that I was just going to run it as a one-man operation. And whatever I wasn't good at, I was going to subcontract out. Like, we'll say, how many employees do you have? I was like, depends on what you mean. I mean, I literally pay probably 20 people to do things that I'm not good at. But they're not my employees. I need a graphic design. I have 3 or 4 graphic design companies that I work with. If I need something done, you know, that might even be on a website that maybe somebody comes along with something that I don't know how to do on a website. You know, like I got this guy over here who's a magician when it comes to WordPress. I call him, he does it.
Right.
I subcontract everything. So, like, I double down on my strength and I find people that are good at what I'm not and I bring them in and I pay them the things I'm not good at, and then I double down on what I am good at. I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, I mean, if I guess I just love the fact, like, if I get up and noon rolls around, I'm just having one of those mornings where, like, something I do, you feel like you're working backwards. I just go, I'm done. Okay.
Right.
And I'll just go take the trip. I'll drive to the beach. I'll drive here. I'll do that. And then come back later on that night, rejuvenate and sit down and maybe even work till midnight on what I was working on earlier, and it tends to work. Because then at midnight, you know, like when I come back refreshed after, you know, just hanging out on the beach for 5 hours or something like that, or rejuvenated, and I come and I sit down on my computer at 7 o'clock at night and work 5 hours and get more done in those 5 hours. And I kept trying to motor through a day that just wasn't going right, you know, it wasn't working. So I when I do sit down to work, it's productive. And I don't have anybody over my shoulder giving me, hey, you got to hit this sales goal, you got to do that sales goal.
Right, you already know your own sales goal. You already know your own qualifications. Nobody can put you under the pressure more than yourself when it's on you. So 100% of that. Rob, real quick, how can people get a hold of you if they're interested? Obviously, you gave an absolute mountain of incredible information about what SEO is and what's behind it and and how it applies to a business, and the dangers of believing that you can't do it today, that you don't want to do this. You know, again, I talk about the truck man. Everybody was wanted, but the big truck and what they want to spend for that, and that's $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, but they couldn't conceive spending $20,000 on their own marketing campaign and their own SEO in order to buy 10 of those machines. So you've obviously broken down the importance of why somebody needs that, why an entrepreneur, why a small service-based business owner and operator manager can benefit from this. How do people get a hold of you? What's the best way?
Probably my main website is HamptonConsulting.net, but I also have another website that people, it's a lot easier to find, is SEOonfire.social. So either one of those places, or it's probably about the two places. I'm on social media under not Rob Hampton, because there were so many Rob Hampton.
Right. I loved it. I saw that. That was great.
Yeah, I know. No matter how I tried everything, Rob, Robert, everything, like, and they're all taken. I was like, I didn't realize there's so many of us. So then I was just like, yeah, I'm not Rob.
Right.
But yeah, HamptonConsulting.net is probably the website I've had probably. So I'm probably the website almost 20 years now.
Okay.
So yeah, there. Definitely, anybody. And I also, if you do go to HamptonConsulting.net, I have a free ebook on social media marketing that honestly anybody could take and do their own social media marketing. If you want to know how to not hire a guy like me, that's the social media marketing book to go through. And you don't have to worry about hiring anybody to do your social media. But if you do, you need some help on SEO or social media marketing or web design, I'm available.
Well, from a person that's actually done it themselves and realized the dozens and dozens and dozens of hours you need to do every single week, when you don't have to do it, don't do it. I had to learn it based on advice from you and learning it trial and error that you want a professional doing your SEO. I would never conceivably try to do it in the future going forward. So, Rob, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Great information. It kind of breaks down a framework of where a person needs to be seen, the visibility of their business, the future growth of their business, and all of those things. So, again, Rob, thank you so much for being a guest here today, and I want to do this again at some point because I know there's so many different variations of things, and I want to get into more social stuff down the road, but you've given a ton of great advice and great content here today, so thank you personally for being here.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you having me. It's an honor to be on the phone with somebody who's a great marketer themselves, Rob.
You got to find them. No problem, man. All right. We'll talk to you soon, Rob. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for joining us for a brand new episode of the Service Without Excuses podcast.